Well, good morning, Potter's Four Square Church. Happy Sunday. It's Pastor Greg coming to you from my living room. So, looking forward to completing our study on the Holy Spirit. This is the last teaching on the series. So for those of you that have had enough, the good news is that we're going from here to the study of creation. So we'll look forward to doing that. Just a programming note, so as of today, we will begin, the church will open July 5th, which is the day after the 4th of July holiday, Sunday, July 5th, for service. And between now and then, we are making preparations and readying ourselves for all the requirements that the state has mandated. So we will begin working on all that and making sure that we're in compliance with everything. Don't know how long that's going to take. Well, we're going to take a month to do it, so we'll see. But what's going to happen is we're going to continue as a church to go through the book of Matthew in our home fellowships. So our home fellowships start a week from tomorrow. They start on the first Sunday in June. And for June, all the home fellowships will meet on Sunday at 10 o'clock. There'll be five of them. And if you haven't been contacted yet, I know I haven't contacted my group because I wanted to make sure that I had solid information. You will be contacted. It'll be 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings for the month of June. And on Wednesdays, I'll be recording my sermons on the study of creation. And we're going to do Matthew on Sundays with the home fellowships and Wednesday creation online, and then July 5th, which is Sunday, we will do creation at church on a regular Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, and the home fellowships will continue throughout the week. There'll be, most of the home fellowships will be on Wednesday evenings. So for now, we're not gonna have a Wednesday evening service until we get further through the reopening. Right now, we really want to focus on home fellowships and strengthening that because, as I've told you before, I believe that we're going to be right back here pretty soon. So we're making preparations for that. And I thank you for being patient. I know there's been a lot of information that has gone out. But one thing you can expect to see, actually two things, the phone call, excuse me, or the correspondence communicating to you which home fellowship that you are in, number one. Number two, there'll be a document that is going to go out to everybody to communicate to you what to expect when we come back to church. Issues regarding masks and cleanliness and social distancing, the laying on of hands, the greetings, all that stuff will be addressed in this document so that you, before you even come to church, you have a pretty good idea of what to expect. So we will cover that when we get to it, but this morning we are talking about the Holy Spirit and the last part of the study, which is spiritual offices. So we have done sort of the genesis of the Holy Spirit. We've done how the Holy Spirit operates and works and moves in your life. We've done the fruits of the Spirit. We've done the gifts of the Spirit. We've done additional gifts of the Spirit. And then this is the last part of that, which is the spiritual offices. These are offices that are mandated by the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit places people into. So our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, and it reads as follows. Excuse me. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the first sort of spiritual office here is apostleship. And the spiritual gift of apostleship is sometimes confused with the office, right? And the office of an apostle was held by a limited number of men chosen by Jesus himself. And it's including the 12 disciples in Mark 3:13, and then Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. So we know that that was a spiritual office, and that was for a time, for a dispensation of time, and that office no longer exists, the office of a prophet. Now, the spiritual call to the gift of apostleship is a little bit different. So the requirements for an apostle included, you know, this, you had to be an eyewitness to Jesus's ministry. And obviously there's not people today that are eyewitness to his death and resurrection. So that would exclude that. But the apostles were given the authority by Jesus to do many different things in establishing the church, including writing the scripture and performing miracles. We see that in John 14, 2 Peter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the mission for those with the gift of apostleship today is a little bit different. So the spiritual office of apostleship today is to plant new ministries and new churches, to go into places where the gospel is not preached, to reach across cultural aisles, to establish churches in challenging environments, to raise up and develop leaders, and to call out and lead pastors and shepherds, and much more. So the spiritual gift of apostleship today is somebody that I personally, we don't have this gift operating in our church today. That doesn't mean that in the future that we won't have that, but as of now we don't, which is fine. The thing that we're focusing on is, you know, the maintaining of the church, and that's not by the gift of apostleship, that's a gift of leadership that we covered last week. So if you really want to understand this better, these people often have different gifts that lead them to fulfill their ministry, and these are, you know, leaders that lead leaders, and ministers of people that ministry themselves. They are influencers, or typically entrepreneurial type people. They tend to see the big picture regarding church and how church, you know, functions, not just as a single body, but multiple bodies. These are leaders of, you know, denominations, things like that, leaders of missionary ministries. Again, this is 30,000 foot view, big picture type of people. It is still a gift, but it is still functioning, not to the degree that it was in the early New Testament, but in this sort of new way of doing things. So how does that work for you? Well, you know, there is people, excuse me, within the Foursquare movement that have a lot of churches that are, you know, that stem from a home church. They start a regular church, and from that church, they do what they call satellite churches. Well, anybody involved in, you know, maintaining and starting a satellite church ministry is definitely one with the gift of apostleship. Which, like I said before, is a really cool thing. You know, to plant new ministries and to go into places where the gospel is not preached, it's phenomenal. Especially now when, you know, this type of mindset really needs to be awakened, because I firmly believe, you know, I don't know if you woke up this morning and read the paper, but our Supreme Court of the United States sided with Gavin Newsom for his ability to limit the capacity to churches in California to 25%. Now, for some of you, you're rejoicing at that decision. I don't rejoice with you. I think it's catastrophic, because it sets a precedence for other states to be reduced by that number upon the governor wanting it. And whether it's justified or not is another question. The reality is, anytime the church dictates to the church when they can meet, how they meet, how many people they can have, that's bad for us, right? We are all about freedom in this country, and that is a freedom that has now been taken away while we were asleep last night. So, it was a 5-4 judgment, and everybody went down the aisle, you know, left and right, and I think it was the Chief Justice is the one that was the swing vote on this. And again, I haven't read through, I'm in the process of reading through why this decision was made. But in light of that, with such a high emphasis now on home fellowships where the government can't control what we're doing, we're going to need people that think strategically and minister to those ministers. And that's going to be kind of a position for me moving forward, is that my heart's desire is to really establish home fellowships in our church and ministering to the people that are going to be ministering to you. My job is to equip them. My job is to work with them on their teaching, developing a teaching style, getting worship leaders assigned, getting people to, you know, there are going to be mini churches everywhere. And so I just think it's awesome. I love the opportunity, but this gift is necessary. So the second gift listed here is the gift of an evangelist. And, you know, guys, all of us are called to evangelize and to reach out to the lost. Obviously, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, we will get there soon. You know, we're given that mandate by the Lord himself, but some are given an extra measure of faith and effectiveness in this area of evangelism. So the Greek word for evangelist is euangelistesis, which means one who brings good news. Now, this word is only found in two other places in the New Testament, Acts 21 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, 5. Evangelists are given this unique ability by the Holy Spirit to clearly and effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. And they are burdened in their hearts for the lost. And that's not to say that pastors aren't, but their mandate, their role that God has carved out is a little different. Evangelists, they look at souls being saved, where pastors look at not only souls being saved, but ministries being developed, the health of the church being strengthened. It's why it's a spiritual office. The problem with evangelists is that we don't have a lot of people signing up for this particular spiritual office, and that is a sad thing. And I think that within our fellowship, we really need to pray and seek the Lord for people to come forward and say, look, I believe God has called me to this. And the call of an evangelist is, you know, it's not work done within the church. It's work done outside the church with the support of the church, the financial support of the church, the resources of the church. But really, that person, their eyes are on not what goes on in the body, but what goes on outside the body. Evangelists have the ability to overcome the normal fear of rejection, and they engage with non-believers in a meaningful conversation about Jesus willingly. They're not fearful, like some of us are fearful about talking about our faith. They're not fearful at all. And it's one of the ways that we know that God is calling somebody to evangelism is because it's just a natural outcropping of who they are. And, you know, we see that on a regular basis. We see that with people that, they have a compulsion to share their faith and to bring people into the kingdom. They continually seek out relationships with people who don't know Jesus, and they're open to leading of the Holy Spirit to approach different people. And they love giving this free treasure away that we have from the Lord. And it brings great joy to them. The Bible says that the feet of those who bring good news are beautiful to those who believe. That's Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. I think that out of all of these spiritual offices that we have listed here in our text, the single greatest need in the church today is for evangelists to be raised up. And if you're listening to this sermon and it's something that you have thought about in the past, I really pray that you would begin to seek the Lord and to see if that might be you, if God might use you in that area. It is definitely a need in the church body, especially in our church body, where we do not have evangelists. There's not one that I can think of. There is people that have said, yes, God has called me to the gift of evangelism, so, you know, put the ministry together and I'm just going to go out and speak. If you come to me and say that, I'm going to look at you and say, if you're an evangelist, you will have everything it takes to go out and do this ministry. You won't need me but for money and for occasional resources. That's about it. But the passion needs to come from you. I think in the past, we've had people that have communicated that they want to be an evangelist, but like they said, they leave it for me to do the work for them, and they just want to go out and preach, and that's not what happens here. Evangelism is not preaching to the masses necessarily. It's preaching to one-on-one or preaching to 1,000 people with the same intensity, with the same passion. And that's difficult, because I think what we say to one person would be different than if we were put in front of 1,000 people, but yet this person sees the one or the 1,000 as the same importance. So the third here is a pastor shepherd. The spiritual gift of pastor or pastor shepherd is one that carries, you know, many different responsibilities. So this gift is closely related to the spiritual gifts of leadership and teaching. The Greek word for pastor is appointment, which means shepherd or overseer. And in the biblical context, shepherds had, you know, several different responsibilities to their sheep. Ultimately, they were the owner of the sheep, but they kept a lookout for predators, and they protected them from attackers. And pastors are called shepherds because of their calling and because of the gifting, much like those who care for sheep. So if you really want to know what this ministry is about, you should spend time, you know, researching what the role of a shepherd is, because there's a lot of things that they do that we do, not just with sheep, but with people. So their gift and their call to care for the spiritual well-being of the local body is what's at stake, and that's their primary function. So pastors are first and foremost servants. They're servants of God, they're servants of his bride, they're servants of the church, and they are given a mixture of abilities, you know, by the grace that allows them to serve the needs of the entire community. The goal of the pastor is to reveal the glory of God in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to people in need for the grace of life. That's the primary goal. This particular text keeps going back, and it's saying, you know, why are all these offices here? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And my job as a pastor, teacher, and with the gift of prophecy, is to bring forth the mind and the will of God to you that is in the scripture, to make what is difficult easy for you to understand so that you can apply it to your life, and teaching you how to study the Word of God so that you don't need somebody to learn from, that you can begin the process of feeding yourself. And that's really important. So in terms of the primary way that pastors do this, they do it by teaching the Word of God to the church. The pastor is directly linked to the gift of teaching in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and elsewhere. In fact, this gift could be called the gift of pastor-teacher if you really wanted to look at it that way. The ability to teach the scripture is also one of many requirements of being an overseer. It says that in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1, verse 6. And in teaching the scripture to the church, the pastor-teacher is the sheep, you know, it feeds the sheep of God, and that's what we do. Now, is it exactly to the model that we're currently functioning to? Probably not. I think the original church was a little bit different in that they didn't make the teaching such an emphasis. The emphasis was on worship and fellowship, and yes, they would share the Word of God, but it wasn't necessarily one person who did that. It was sometimes many people that stood forward that had this gift. Now, the fourth one listed here is teachers, and I've put / prophets, because James in chapter 3, verse 1 warns, it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. So like every believer, teachers are to be stewards of every word that comes out of their mouths, and that is a difficult part about being a teacher, especially now when, you know, your sermon is going online to, you know, whoever wants to download it, whoever wants to record it, it's going to be there forever. So what you say matters, not just to the 100 people in the congregation, but everywhere else in the world. The greater responsibility that we have in being the steward over what we say means that we will, as pastor teacher, take the time to really understand God's word. And we have been entrusted with the task of effectively communicating what the Bible says, what it means, and how, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're to live that and apply that to our life. So the Greek word for those who have the spiritual gift of teaching is didaskalos, and it really is what we get the English word didactic, which the word didactic means to teach, to instruct, to instill, doctrine, explain, and expound. And those with this spiritual gift of teaching love to study the Word of God for an extended period of time. They love doctrine. They love, debating and communicating the importance of God's Word. They consume Scripture like food, right, for their hearts and souls and their mind, and with the only purpose, the express purpose of making Him known to other people. The Holy Spirit, you know, gives certain gifts to people, and in giving the gift of teaching. I firmly believe that when God calls a pastor, there are pastors that don't operate in the gift of teaching, and I understand that. But the vast majority are not only called a pastor teacher, but you could also put with the gift of prophesying. So it's a threefold ministry for the majority of people in the office of a pastor. That's what they do. Now, there are some ministries with bigger churches where you have pastors who are pastors to pastors, or pastors that are administrative pastors, or handle the legal side of the church in a pastoral way. And those are great. And I'm not necessarily saying that you shouldn't have this gift, but you're not relying on this gift like you would if you were in front of the congregation. So that this, you know, when we teach, we have to help the church, you know, fulfill her ministry. 1 Timothy says that we're to be a pillar or a buttress of truth. And without this gift, the church would quickly fail and fall into sin and to error. And teachers, you know, are there to make sure that that doesn't happen. As a teacher of the truth, we hate when scripture is being abused and it's out of context. And the reason being is because we know that that causes so much false doctrine. So they love, somebody with this gift loves they love the truth, they love speaking the truth in love, and they will never hide it or withhold it. On the contrary, they desire to follow the footsteps of Jesus and teach in the synagogues and the temple and anywhere else people are gathered, but they're not going to be bound. And that's one of the things that I really am trying to find out as a pastor, teacher, and with the gift of prophecy, how to speak to the times that we're at today. And, you know, I just had a leadership meeting this last week with the church, and, you know, to approve all of this reopening stuff. And yeah, we're talking about procedural things. However, as a pastor, teacher, and with the gift of prophecy, my what's rolling around the back of my head is, what is the word of God speak to this day and age? And guys, I have seen one thing that is predominant in this pandemic, and I have seen fear in the hearts of people that I never really knew struggled with fear. And it's not only is it causing them to think and act in different ways, it's the core of them as people has been shaken. And it's not, you know, when you're walking in fear, you're not walking in joy, you're not walking in peace, you're not walking in patience. You can't have all those fruits of the Spirit and walk in fear. And yet, as a pastor teacher, I want to speak to that. And I don't want to go and correct people for, you know, their concern and their part in this pandemic. However, this pandemic, God has not called this pandemic to be a lifestyle for you. You don't have to accept the new norm, right? Our normal is, we're Jesus freaks. Our normal is, we're people that walk by faith and not by sight. We're people that have the promises of God, that He's going to protect us, that He's going to love us, that no matter what happens to us, God's going to be there to be that net that we fall into. And I think that, you know, for some of the people in church, it breaks my heart because they pay more attention to what the media says than what God says. And as a pastor, I can't sit back and allow that to happen. If you're bound by fear right now, I want to reach you. I want to teach you that this is not what God has called you to. No matter what. If you look at the ministry that's going to take place during the tribulation, it's from people who are not walking in fear. They're walking in faith. And that's something that I desire for all of the sheep in my church. I don't want you cowered down at home. I don't want you freaking out that this thing's going to come and get you, and it's so affected your life and negatively impacted relationships and has caused you to withdraw from all fellowship. That's not God. And I'm sorry. I'm gonna say that boldly, and you may disagree with me, and that's fine. But I have to answer to the Lord, and I'm not suggesting that you live the lifestyle that I live. I'm not saying that. But if you're living your lifestyle and as the underlying component of fear, then from the biblical standpoint of fear, you're in error, and you need to be corrected. And you need God's grace. You need to be reminded of God's love. You need to be reminded of every promise that is in the Word of God, that He has said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. When Jesus went up and He touched people that were diseased. He did so by faith. Even though he was flesh, he could have got that disease, but he didn't. He walked in faith, and that's what we need to do. And yes, faith mixed with wisdom. We don't want to do anything foolish or stupid, but we have to mix those two. And remember, it's what I talked about in the devotion. It's really balancing safety and managing risk, right? I mean, that's what it's about here. But, you know, we live in a state that is, you know, driven in two. And it's something that I need to speak to as a pastor. We have those that are fearing this pandemic and those that are just tired of it. And those two groups of people are growing stronger and the divide is growing greater. And that doesn't honor God. You know, as somebody that is on the side of this thing is an overreach in every way, shape, or form, it's the biggest, single greatest governmental mistake in the history of mankind from the United States standpoint. That's what I believe. I believe we failed miserably. The church failed, the government failed. And the catastrophic events that we are going to see, this is nothing compared to what we're going to see financially because of all the money we've printed without backing it up with capital. We'll be in big trouble. Big, big, big trouble. So I say all that to say this, you know, my job is to speak the truth and love to the signs and the times that we are at. Jesus said, you're a fool if you can't explain the signs and the times. You can tell the weather, but you can't tell where we're at spiritually. You tell me, the Supreme Court has given the governor permission to tell people how many people can go to church. Does that sound like the end is near? Sure does to me. I pray that these words would rest on your soul with a lot of grace and a lot of love. And if you're mad, if you need to be mad at me for me saying these things, that's fine. But I am your shepherd. I'm your pastor. I'm your teacher. I'm the one who prophesies, and I will be held accountable for my words. I understand that, and I really, I'm speaking to those right now who are contemplating these spiritual offices. And if you've thought about them in the past, I pray that you would ask God if He would equip you in this way by the Holy Spirit. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to serve God in these areas, and so I pray that you would do so. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessing upon those this morning, Lord, that are contemplating the words that have been taught, and maybe, Lord, they have considered evangelism or starting churches or teaching and preaching and leadership and all these different areas, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would equip. I pray that you would call out from among the body evangelists, apostles, pastor teachers, those who prophesy. I pray, God, that they would be abundant because the times require that, Lord. We have a need of these gifts and these offices, and I pray that you would do so in a mighty way. Lord, I just ask for those listening online this morning, if they are not saved, Lord, the scripture says that we are to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we will be saved. And I pray that as they pray that prayer today, you would come in and radically change their life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, there is a phone number on our website. Please give us a call and share with us the decision that you made so that we may rejoice with you. And for those who know the Lord, remember, He has shown you, O man and O woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you.